This morning, I'd like to invite you to join me in the New Testament book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and as you're turning, I'll just do a quick review here from last week. Last week, I shared a message on, basically in the message, we looked at two displays of pride and two blessings of humility. Two displays of pride and two blessings of humility. And, of course, if you were here, hopefully you heard it. Maybe you wrote notes down. I'll give you this just if it's helpful to you. For some of you, whether you were here or not, remember Jesus said God's word is a seed. And our hearts are like ground that the word can go into. And so we want to make sure we clear the ground. We remove any, like James said, anything that would hinder us from receiving the seed. So put aside all the hindrances, anything that would keep the seed from getting in and growing. Then receive with humility the implanted word. And then we water that seed by reviewing it and going over it, meditating on it, confessing, thinking about it. And so all the notes, I'll put them on today as well. But the notes from last Sunday's message are on the website. So if you want to look back at that, of course, you can print it. But if you want to look back at it just as a review, in fact, I'll do a little quiz right now. Please don't say anything out loud. All right. But can you remember, let's just say, the two blessings of humility from last week? If you can, that's great. If you can, I would say you're the exception because we've only been hit with, like I said, 50 million thoughts since last Sunday. And but at least if you write it or if you use the resource of the website, you can have it to review. So let me give it to you real quick. It's just the initials of the church and the word family, clmfamily.org. Would you say that with me? clmfamily.org. And that's in the bulletin as well. Today, as we prepare to read these verses, I'll ask you if you would join me as we make our confession together, and the words will be on the screen. If you agree with these, I ask you to confess it with us, whether you're here or online, and the confession, I believe, is true, so if you believe it, let's confess it, all right? So would you say it with me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we read these verses in Colossians, I want to ask them to put one on the screen. It's a proverb. I'll just read it to you if you want to write it down. It's Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Last week, we did see that one danger of pride is deception. Here is another one. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, 10, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So one danger of pride is deception, another is discord. So another danger of pride is discord. I said last week that pride is not always displayed as arrogance, but pride always focuses on self. That's the difference. Pride can be, it can look humble. But pride has that focus on self, and that's one of the ways we can recognize it by the help of God's Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, this is kind of a theme I want to meditate on these verses, I think, this week. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, we read these words. Therefore, as the elect of God, or those who are chosen by God, holy and loved, put on, would you say that with me? Put on. So this isn't something that just happens automatically. That's kind of, we're born with it. We can do it, but we have a will involved. So he says, put on, and he mentions five virtues here, tender mercies or compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering or patience. So of these five virtues, the centerpiece is humility. I believe there's a divine order there. That humility, the others, compassion, kindness, meekness, or gentleness and patience, they revolve around humility. And then verse 13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you. That's the key, isn't it? Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So the message of the day is just simply this. Humility promotes harmony. Humility promotes harmony. Would you say that with me? Humility promotes harmony. I didn't say humility guarantees harmony. Think of Jesus. Was he in harmony with everyone he encountered? And it wasn't because he was arrogant or proud either. So, because if there's ever more than one person involved, that's why the scripture says, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all people. So, humility doesn't guarantee harmony, but it's a scriptural truth that humility promotes harmony first with God, so that we're at peace with God. And I really believe this. The more we are at peace with God, the more grace we have to be at peace with others. So humility promotes harmony first with God, then in us, then in others. So if I'm kind of in discord myself on the inside, it can come out in my interaction with other people. At one point in history, Israel basically split into two nations. There was the majority of the population was in the north. That was called Israel. And there was a southern kingdom called Judah. I want to read you about one of their kings named Uzziah. If you want to just write the verses down, you can stay in the New Testament. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. He became king when he was 16, and he reigned 52 years. He started out great. This is what the Bible says about him. I'll just read a couple verses a few verses in chapter 26. First of all, verse 5. 2 Chronicles 26, 5. He, Uzziah, sought God in the days of Zechariah. Zechariah was the priest at that time. That's good to have somebody that you can follow in faith. He said he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him what? That's a key to prosperity God's way, isn't it? To seek God. Then verse 7 says this, God helped him against the Philistines, the Arabians, and against the Meunites. Now, God helped him because he sought God. So God blessed him. Then he says this in verse 10. He also built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. That was a mountainous area there, for he loved the soil. So God helped him, and God blessed him in battle. God blessed him in agriculture and all the building projects he undertook. God blessed him in his farming. He blessed him in every area because he sought the Lord. But then, as often can happen, instead of thanking God for his blessings and recognizing God's part in his success and recognizing the part others played in his success, his heart became lifted up in pride. This is what it says about him in verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Pride, I believe pride can make us ungrateful. I told Kim one day this week, we were just talking about Thanksgiving. God is just so impressed on me over recent, maybe even years, certainly months, the importance of how I need to be so grateful for my blessings and not develop some attitude of entitlement or think that I did all this on my own or deserve anything. I want to be thankful to God. I want to be thankful to others because I realize I have no virtue, no good outside of God's grace, and I don't do anything worthwhile without someone being a part of what God has called me to do. I'm replaceable. Y'all keep the ministry going. So I thank God for you. But Uzziah let his heart become proud, and it gave him a sense of entitlement. It made him unthankful. And here's another thing pride can do. Pride can lead us to cross, to go outside of appropriate boundaries. I believe we can take on more than we need to and put ourselves under stress and discord that God didn't ordain for us to have, because we put more on ourselves because we thought we could handle it all. Or we meddle where we can just let God and that person handle it, and I don't need my assistance. I got to keep myself in my own appropriate boundaries. And so he went into the temple and did something he was not supposed to do. He tried to be the priest. He was the king. He should have stayed where he was. And instead, he goes in, and we get an idea of what the Lord thinks about it here, just in general. The Bible says this. I'll read it in verse 17. So Azariah, the priest, went in after Uzziah, the king, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, because they're going to confront the king. They could have been executed, so they were brave. And then it says in verse 18, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord before the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you've trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. And then notice verse 19. It says, then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, some translations say not only he was furious, but he was raging at the priests because they would dare confront the king. I wonder how much discord is fueled by pride. He was angry, there was fury, there was rage, and while he's raging at the priest, leprosy breaks out on his forehead. And they ushered him out of there, and he was in a hurry to get out then because he had turned into a leper. And the Bible says, because you couldn't be around people if you had leprosy, that skin disease, whatever it was, and he died in isolation in his own house down the road. He started so well, seeking God, God blessing him, helping him with everything he did. And then he allowed pride to not only come in, but to remain. He became ungrateful, and he overstepped his bounds, and then he died in isolation. What a sad way to end. But see how different it could have been if he was just willing to just say, all right, you're right. Let me get back over here on the throne where I belong. God has blessed me. Y'all take care of what you're doing. I'm going to keep seeking the Lord. But they didn't. Let me read you this, and then we'll go back. I'll share two steps with you I believe can help us put on humility in the New Testament. In the book of 3 John, just I think it's like 15 chapters. Again, if you want to write it down, let me just read a few verses to you. There are three men mentioned in this short letter. Two of them, one was named Gaius and one's named Demetrius, I believe. They had good testimonies. Man, they were faithful before the Lord. They walked in love. They walked in truth. But the middle man, his name was Diotrephes. And this is what it says about him. The apostle John, maybe 90 years old, one of Jesus' closest followers, writes this letter before he passes. And he says, I wrote to the church, but it was a church meeting in the house there. But Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. See, Diotrephes showed discord among the Christians. He disrupted the true and pure Christian fellowship because he wanted to have the preeminence. And it goes on, and he says, verse 10, therefore, if I come, I'm going to call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating or gossiping against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren. He forbids those who wish to receive them, putting them out of the church. See, at that time, there were traveling like teachers who would help the apostles with some of the local congregations when they couldn't get there. And they relied on the hospitality of the church members to take them in, and so they could be a blessing to the church. And he wouldn't let people take them in his own home because he wanted to be the star and in the spotlight. Isn't that something? Verse 11 says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good." Pride may actually reveal insecurity. I'll say that one again. Pride may reveal insecurity. The more insecure I am, the more I need attention, maybe to kind of prove my worth. Now, we all want appreciation. I'm not talking about that. That's different. But I need to find my worth and my value from who God says I am. That frees me to worship and serve Him and to love you, but not be dependent on, I can sin because I need your approval. I've been there and done that. Know something is wrong, but you just want to fit in so bad with the crowd that you end up doing it anyway. Y'all quiet. I don't know. Would you say humility promotes harmony? Now let's look at these two ways I believe are practical to put it on. Would you join me in Philippians chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2, because the scripture says we got to put on humility. Like we put on our clothes every day. We make a choice and we put on whatever it may be that we're wearing for the occasion. We can choose our attitude and we can choose to put on humility. And isn't this a constant? I mean, we never can just say, well, I'm humble now, I'm good. No, it's a constant, it's a lifestyle. That's really what it is, a lifestyle. So Philippians chapter 2, the first way we put on humility, I believe, is to think about Jesus. To think about Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let's pause here just a second. Jesus is our perfect example, isn't he? He was all powerful, and yet he was humble. All powerful, and yet humble. And this section of scripture speaks of how the eternal, sinless Son of God loved us so much that he left heaven. He left glory beside his Father and clothed his divine nature with human flesh and put himself in a human body. He didn't take on our sin nature, but he took on our humanity. On the cross, he took on our sin as our sacrifice to bear the judgment for our sin. So he humbled himself, the Bible says, to put on our humanity. He humbled himself. Look at verse 7. It says, "But he, the Son of God, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." How can we just hold on to pride or arrogance when we think about Jesus? And just be willing to say, again, not putting ourselves down, but just putting our focus where it needs to be. Being thankful, recognizing God's grace and goodness in our lives. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his many blessings. And so we just give God the praise. But then the next verse, verse 9 says, "Therefore," would you say therefore? "Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Jesus humbled himself to come and take our sins and die on the cross. But he was raised in power, and he's where he rightfully belongs now, at the right hand of his Father, seated on high. And we, not everyone will do it in this life, but one day everyone will recognize he is the Son of God. He really is Lord, and will confess and even bow before him that he was the one I should have given my life. He was the one I should have believed. He was the one who loved me and gave himself for me. I wish I would have listened. But thank God we got a choice now. And we can believe in our heart now and confess him as Lord and be with him on that day. Thank God. Humility promotes harmony. I want to just ask, if you want to write this verse down, I'll read it to you from the book of Psalms, and then I'll give you the second step. In Psalms chapter 10 and verse 4, the Bible says this, "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." See, in contrast to humility, pride is self-sufficient. We won't seek God. We think we can live this life without him. Pride will deceive us into thinking we won't give account to God. That's really the context of what that psalm is speaking of there. But we will. I would just say this, brothers and sisters, we must continually refocus on Jesus and think about him. By prayer, refocus on Jesus and think about him. By worship and thanksgiving, by scripture, by fellowship together, always keeping, what does the scripture say? Looking unto Jesus, the author or the founder and the finisher of our faith, because we need to run, we need his help to run this life's marathon of faith. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon, it's a lifelong journey until we meet him face to face. So not only do we need to think about Jesus, but if we really think about Jesus and want to follow his example, I believe we need to think about others. So how do we put on humility? We think about Jesus and we think about others. And I'll read a few verses here, right there, still in that second chapter of Philippians, just before and after this scripture. And I, thinking about the example of Jesus, I believe, I know Jesus, it was his love for his Father, his love for us, and a desire to please his Father's will, please his Father and do his Father's will that inspired him and took him all the way to the cross. Don't you believe that his love in our heart and a desire to please our Father in heaven and a practical desire to care for others can inspire us to consider others too, just like Jesus? This is what it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. I think of it almost like God's heart speaking about his children. "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." I said harmony because harmony is a blend of notes. We're not all the same. We don't need to be the same. God designed us differently. But if we have one overarching purpose to give God glory and do his will, then we can take all of our differences and bring them together, and there's harmony. That's sweet. Harmony is sweet, and it's peaceful, the opposite of discord. So he says, verse 3, then, "let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit or pride, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as better or more significant than himself." And then verse 4, "let each of you look out not only for his own interests," because we're going to have some interests, and nothing wrong with pursuing that, but the scripture is very practical. It says, don't just look out for your interests, but think about others as well. So to think about others then is how we overcome selfishness. It's how we overcome pride that it speaks of in verse 3, and it values others. So if I'm a humble person enough, then I will value you, and it won't all be about me. Again, pride is that self-focus. What about me? I'm part of the mix, but I'm not all the mix. I need to think about Jesus. I need to think about you as well. Let me ask you to just think about this. I believe by God's grace, we can develop this as a lifestyle. We can develop, I would say, a habit or the practice of thinking, Well, let's say I'm going to buy something at home, and I'm not talking about going out and getting a coffee. I'm talking about I'm going to make some significant purchase. Well, I can't just take that upon myself as a married man. I've got to consider, how is this purchase going to affect our spending, or maybe our harmony? So to begin to think about maybe this commitment, I'm going to commit to, and we were in agreement when I went back to school, but it was a time commitment. And so I had to think about, and now I'm not saying I always get it right. I don't. I wish I did, because I would be more mindful. Sometimes I just remember, I wish I could think in advance enough to say, if I say this, is it going to promote harmony or discord? Help me, Lord, by your grace. Humility promotes harmony, right? So it's thinking about, I got to think about, how will this affect others involved? As a pastor, how, if I were to do this practice, how would it affect my testimony before you and before others? So, and if you drop down still in chapter 2, verse 19, I'm almost done. Paul said, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. And please just listen to how he words this. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things of Christ. Do you see how that it went right into the either harmony or discord? He said, my son in the faith, I'm thankful for you, and I want you, the church, to let him have his proper place, because I can tell you, he genuinely cares for you, because he's not seeking his own, he's seeking the Lord, and he wants your blessing and your welfare in Christ. So, he says he genuinely cares for you. And then, because Timothy had even gotten to the place where it could be affecting his health in the ministry. And so he said, don't let his service be a pain to him. Let it be a joy. Because Timothy had that kind of concern for the people of God as a pastor. So Timothy then is in contrast to some of the others we've looked at. And even those Paul writes about, he says, there, I can't be in one accord with them because they're seeking their own, and we can't come together on a greater purpose of glorifying God and doing his will. But if we're humble, we can. And we might disagree about all kinds of issues and important ones, but if we keep Jesus as Lord and we want to give him glory and we want to do his will, we can find some common ground to move forward by his grace. Don't you know that God gives more glory when we are in a spirit of harmony and going about his will and doing his ministry, than if we're in discord and he can't, and it's a testimony to others that would turn people away from Jesus? Humility promotes harmony. I'll close with this. If you want to write it down, I will read it to you from the New Living Translation. It's just three verses. I'll read them off the screen too. Ephesians chapter 4, this kind of goes together with it, just those three verses there. It says this, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Remember what we read earlier? You're elect, you're called, you're loved if you're in Christ. For you have been called by God. Verse 2, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And then verse 3, make every effort. Would you please say that with me? Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. I hope this is practical enough. Aren't you glad God's word is practical? Lord, help us. The Lord, don't you know we need the Lord to live this out? We need his grace. Thank God he's available. He's willing. We just have to be willing to come to him. So let me ask you to think about this, please. If you think about something recently that where maybe there was a little strife or discord or some situation, maybe some contention, did pride maybe fuel the discord, or maybe just being self-seeking? Or how about this? Did ingratitude, instead of expressing gratitude for all that someone has done, we center on something else. Did that fuel the discord? I'm not asking to condemn anyone. Here's what I hope we'll do. Let's learn and grow from it. Let's learn and grow. I try to remind myself of this. Whenever there's some kind of little issue going on, I say, Lord, this is an opportunity to grow closer to you and to grow more like you. And it's an opportunity to grow closer to one another if we handle it the right way, by God's grace. Humbly, humility promotes harmony. Would you say that with me again? Humility promotes harmony. So let me just ask you to think about this today. How will you grow closer to the Lord? How will you grow more like him? And when a situation arises, will you just think about it? How will you promote harmony instead of discord? There's a chorus that says, 1,000 times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart, in my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out. Let justice and praise become my embrace to love you from the inside out. That's where it starts, in our heart. Can we stand together as we just close in prayer? Yes. Lord, we just thank you for humbling yourself to come to us, Lord, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be in your family, so that we could know you. And Lord, I pray even right now, we just want to say, search our heart and see if there is any issue in our own heart that we would need to make right just right now, to lay it down before you. We won't make any excuses or blame somebody else. Just make it right. But then let's move forward. So Lord, I pray you would give grace, you would give wisdom. I pray that you would bless with peace and harmony, because we want you to get the glory and we want to be effective for you. Can I just take a moment? Would everybody just, we keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a moment, please. I just want to pray for you. Is there anyone today who would just say, Brother Rocky, just pray for me. I want God's wisdom and grace and how to handle a situation I'm in right now. Would you just hold your hands up just a moment, please? Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. Appreciate your honesty. Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters before your throne of grace right now and ask you to intervene. Lord, we invite you in. We invite you in. We ask you for wisdom. You said if we lack it, ask. So I'm asking. Lord, I ask you for wisdom and how to promote harmony, and help us, Lord, to give you the glory through this. Let it be a testimony that ultimately will give you glory, that will serve your purpose and unite us in one accord to be effective vessels for you. We do it joyfully in Jesus' name. Amen.